Good to hear you singing again. When you get colds and sicknesses like me and her do, it's always a blessing when you get your voice back. And so we're thankful for that. Open your Bibles tonight, please. The book of Hebrews chapter 5 tonight. The book of Hebrews chapter 5. Last Sunday night, I started a sermon. Actions speak louder than words. Was intended on preaching that tonight, but I honestly want to go a different direction. So it may be a couple weeks as far as before we finish that sermon, but that's okay, because I was even talking to my son Cameron today that I even said to him, I said, you know, I said, I've gotten on you guys, I said, I've gotten on you teenagers a lot lately. And I said, but one thing I've realized, I was processing this afternoon, and one of the thoughts that I had was, how do we live a Christian life? How do we live a godly life? You know, I mean, I honestly do. I mean, I try to preach hard against things that I feel is of a threat as far as to our spiritual walk with God, to our walk with the Lord. And why are we moving back so far, guys? Tell you what, teenagers, fill this front pew up for me. Come on, teens. Front pew, fill it up. That way I can keep an eye on you. Now, what I got tonight, I got what I have to say tonight, it's going to help you. All right? Don't make me push a button. I'll zap all of you. Start, fill this front pew up. Yeah, come on up. Fill the second pew up. Gator, move up. Who else am I missing? Mandy? Yeah. Mandy's sitting with Tori tonight, and I'll allow that tonight. Good to see Tori back. She's lost her granddad. But you know what, Tori? I think we need to love on you from the front. Come on down. You guys in the back, come on down. Tori and Mandy, you guys come on down. Tara, I'll let you sit on the fourth row. How's that sound? That's a pretty good deal. Come on down. You say, preacher, why are you getting on? Well, honestly, when I got saved, I was 16 years old when I got saved. And my mentors were guys like Jeff Fain and Greg McDaniel and some of those boys. And they always sat on the front row. And I know why they did that. Come on down, guys. Fill in these pews if you can. We missing any more teenagers? Lindsay. Oh, I thought you was talking to Rebecca for a minute, Brother Stephen. Lindsay's coming down. But one thing I've learned about sitting in the back as a teenager, now I'll say as a teenager, a lot of distractions, and so we want to try to avoid that if we can. And because really, I mean this, what I'm going to share with you tonight is going to help you, not because preacher's preaching it, but I care about you, I deeply do care about you, but it's because it's the Word of God. And I want, and I'm going to take these next few Sunday nights, and I'm going to preach primarily to our teenagers, teenagers and young adults, young college kids. And I want you guys to have a life that's pleasing to Christ. I want you to grow up in the Lord, and I want you to grow up as far as, you know, building your life on Christ, because many of you may not realize this, but there will come a day, chances are, that many of you will replace us. I mean, it's not uncommon, you know, for God to raise up young preachers and God to raise up preachers' wives in a local New Testament church. And, you know, we're thankful for that. But in order to do so, we've got to put some stuff in you. We've got to get you guys ready for that. We've got to get you ready for ministry and serving and develop you as far as into a fully devoted follower of Christ. And we take that serious around here. You know, as your pastor, we take that serious. Brother Stephen, Miss Melissa, we take that serious. We're very intentional. Even in our Sunday school program, very intentional. There's a lot of intentionality. Why are you sitting back there, Aaron? Come on up. Move up. You haven't gotten past preacher thinking you're an adult yet. Come on, third row. I can't see the rest of you, no. Gene Buckner, why are you sitting back there? Just kidding. Miss Carol says, he's sitting there because I told him so. And that's a good husband right there, ladies and gentlemen. Mateo, why are you back there? Come on down, Mateo. Is that okay, Heather? Heather says, I guess. You can sit with Miss Leslie. Sit down here by Leslie. But please keep Leslie out of trouble, if you will. We're going to share some things that's going to help you. Just sit here by Leslie, if you don't mind. Hebrews chapter 5. Now, the context of Hebrews 5 is the writer of Hebrews chapter 5 is really going to, I love these verses because what he's going to do is he's really issuing a challenge. He's really doing a diagnosis. He's like a doctor. You know, so we're going to take a trip tonight to the great physician's office. This is the word of God, and he's going to evaluate us. He's going to assess us. He's going to give us a physical, if you will, as far as in our from the perspective of our spiritual life, of our walk with God. So in Hebrews chapter 5, if you found your place, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. You know, I will say too, guys, young people, that it's a huge encouragement to a preacher when young people sit in the front. So I'm going to ask you to do something. I'll ask the parents to help me in doing this. Will you guys please, of your own choosing, unless we have to persuade you, will you guys sit up here when Brother Ryan Massey preaches during revival? Will you guys do that? Say, yep, I'll do it, preacher, if you'll do it. Thank you, David. I appreciate that, David. So good to have you with church tonight, Brother David. Now, I want you guys to sit up front because it's a great encouragement. And truthfully, it will help avoid distraction in your life and in the services here. Hebrews chapter 5, we'll start verse 11. The Bible says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Now, the context, of course, we know that for the next three chapters, the writer of Hebrews is going to go into an intense study of the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a tremendous study. There's some deep doctrines in these next three chapters. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, he's telling them that, but he says, again, verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and are hard to be uttered there in verse 11. Literally, these can be some, they're hard to explain, he's saying. And then he says, and are hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles. The word oracles simply means sayings of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. There's nothing wrong with being a baby. But God doesn't intend for us to stay a baby, right? There's nothing wrong with being a baby. But God doesn't intend, just like your mom and dad, when they have you, you're a baby. But you didn't stay a baby. Physically, you didn't stay a baby. So the writer goes on, he says in verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask your blessing on the reading of it. We pray, God, you help our young people. And Lord, not only young people, we pray that you'll help our folks. And Lord, we thank you for the challenge of this great portion of Scripture. We ask, God, that your Holy Spirit will lead us, that he'll guide us, that he'll teach us. Father, we're believing you tonight to do something miraculous in the lives, Lord, especially of our teens. And show them, God, the importance of growing in their walk with you. Lord, if they claim the name of Christ, if they're truly saved, Father, you desire to do something miraculous in their life. You desire, God, to prepare them for a great life that is ahead and prepare them, Lord, for years and years of service to your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. I said you can go and be seated. Thank you. I said to you guys this morning, as far as some of the behaviors, you know, that we can find ourselves in, especially as young people, some of the choices that we can make that aren't godly choices. I talked about your Facebooks, and I talked about the different social media sites. But the more I began to process this, and I've been processing this afternoon, the more I begin to process, here's my heart on this. When it comes to changing our behavior, you know, it's all that we often refer to it. Sometimes psychologists will call it behavioral modification. That's a big phrase. It just simply means, you know, sometimes the goal of certain therapies is to get the individual to change the behavior that they're doing. Whether it be a drug or whether it be an alcohol or whether it be some immoral type of thing, they want them to focus on changing the behavior. But here's the only problem with that ideology and that really that kind of philosophy of teaching. The only problem with that is this. It most of the time, not always, I'm not going to say that it never works, but the majority of the time, statistically it's proven That when you focus only on behavior, modifying and changing a behavior, you really don't change. Because what happens is you can sometimes change this behavior to then go to this behavior, right? So, but the more I began to process and the more I truly began to think about it this afternoon, here's what I love about God's Word. God's Word doesn't focus, and young people, you can see this if you begin to dig in. Our challenge is that God's gonna grow you and gonna stretch you as far as in your walk with Christ and your development and your growth in Christ. God's Word doesn't focus primarily, and even to the adults, I want you to press in and hear this. God's Word doesn't focus on changing your behavior primarily. God warns us about some behavior, but God's Word doesn't focus primarily on getting us to change our behavior. God focuses on getting us to grow in our relationship with Him. Now, why is that important? Because, ladies and gentlemen, on the authority of Scripture, if we press into Christ, if we press into the Lord Jesus, and we intentionally, and we, by discipline and by choice, we press in, and we choose to study our Bibles, read our Bibles, and we choose to pray, and we choose to be faithful to church and youth group and Sunday school and things like that. Guess what God does in your life? And you don't even realize it. God begins to grow you, and as we'll see in a moment, He begins to mature you in your relationship with Him. And when God begins to mature you in your relationship with Him, guess what happens? A lot of the negative behaviors, honestly, before the Lord, a lot of those negative behaviors and negative things that we can sometimes do, a lot of them will slowly dissipate away from us because we now are growing in Christ as opposed to just going by the whims and the dictates of our heart and our flesh and our mind and our culture. So let's press in and let's kind of dig through this. We're going to, again, we're making a trip to the great physician's office. He's going to do a kind of a spiritual physical on our lives. Interestingly enough, when you dig through this portion of Scripture, you'll notice, first of all, the writer, he's writing in the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Notice the first thing. We've now come into the great physician, the Lord. We've come into His doctor's office. And He's going to do some assessment of us, just like many of us who go on a yearly basis, hopefully, I hope you do this, on a yearly basis, and you get a physical done. They check a lot of things. And without fail, one of the things that they'll do is they'll look in your ears. So the writer of Hebrews, number one, the first thing he does is he checks their hearing. He's going to check their hearing. And the Bible tells us in verse 11, look at this text. The Bible says, and of whom we have many things to say, but notice this, and are hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. When the writer writes his portion of Scripture, he says, first of all, he's talking to these Jewish people, who these Jewish believers, who many of them were being tempted now to go back to their old dead religion. They're being tempted to go back to their old life. Jesus Christ had saved them. Jesus Christ has changed their life. He has born them again and forgiven them of all their sin. But they're being tempted to go back. They're being tempted to go back to the old life. Young people, I would be a fool. I would be foolish not to understand the struggles that you guys have. I know you have struggles. Adults have struggles. And by struggles, I mean the struggles of whether you're going to live for Jesus or you're going to live for the world. And that is a battle. That is a race. You say, yeah, but preach, I'll be honest. Let's just be truthful. Let's just bring it down. Let's just talk for a minute. Let's just kind of press in and think about something. You say, yeah, but pastor, I mean, nobody wants to be an oddball. Nobody wants to be, you know, kind of a, nobody wants to not fit in. Well, let me just say something to you, young people. If you have Christ as your Savior on the authority of God's Bible, on the authority of God's Word, you and I will never, as far as in this world, will never fit in as far as in our culture. And the reason we won't is because Jesus Christ has made a difference in our life. He has forgiven us. He has changed our life. And God has placed a new nature in you if you're born again. And because He's placed a new nature in us, that nature will want to, that nature, the Holy Spirit of God now lives in you, that new nature that God's put in you, guess what it will want to do? It will want to serve Christ. It will want to honor the Lord. That's why often, if a person's truly saved, that's why on a regular basis, When we do something we shouldn't do, that's why we feel bad about it, right? When we sin, when we choose to deliberately disobey God's word, because the Holy Spirit of God lives in us, the biblical word is the word convict. He convicts us. That's a good word. Conviction is a good word. If you know Christ is your Savior and we choose to sin and we choose to deliberately disobey God's written word, God's sayings, he convicts us. And he shows us that we're wrong. So on that thought, we'll never fit in as far as in this world. The writer, as we said, is wanting to tell them that for the next three chapters, he's going to really dig in into this theology of the priesthood of Christ. But they had gotten to the place that they weren't able, that they were dull of hearing, and they weren't able to understand it. They weren't able to get a hold of it. Now, what does the word dull mean? The Bible said that in verse 11. He says, seeing ye are dull of hearing. The word dull means slothful. It means sluggish. Here it is. It means lazy. Wow. It means lazy. I remember when I was a teenager, my grandma used to call me lazy. My aunt used to call me lazy. And the reason they would is because my grandmother would pick beans at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. And as a teenager, I didn't even know 5:30 or 6 o'clock came twice a day, right? And I honestly used to tell my grandmother, I'll pick them at noon. I honestly said, I'll pick them at noon. I don't care about it being 115 degrees and 90% humidity. I'll die of a heat stroke, but let me sleep. So she'd sometimes call me lazy. But in this context of Scripture, the bad thing is it refers to a condition of spiritual apathy and laziness that prevents spiritual development. The word apathy simply means no feeling. If a person knows Jesus as their Savior, and in the context, he's writing to people who know Christ as their Savior, and he's saying to them, I've got some hard sayings I want to share with you, but you can't receive them. You're dull of hearing. You're a lazy hearer when it comes to the Bible. You haven't pressed in. You haven't made a willful, conscious choice to press in and really intentionally be a student, a disciple of Jesus Christ. God wants us to press in, young people. He wants us to sit at his feet and listen to what he has to say, but then apply those truths in our lives. He doesn't give us his word just to fill our head full of facts. I've been a preacher for quite a while, and I've met a lot of people. I've met a lot of people that love to tell me how much they know about the Bible. But yet, as an observer, I sit back and I think to myself, you know a lot of facts about the Bible, but I don't see it fleshed out in your life. I don't see it fleshed out. And how do you know when the Bible fleshes out in somebody's life? It produces faithfulness. It produces joy. It produces good stewardship. It produces a lot of things in your life. So the point being, God, young people, please hear me. God doesn't give us his Bible just to fill our head full of facts. He gives us his word to radically change our lives. So let's continue on. So he examines their hearing. He says, you're a lazy hearer. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to increase your faith? You want to grow in your walk with Jesus? Young people, listen to the preacher tonight. You will not grow in your walk with Jesus without God's word in your life. You've got to get it in you. You say, preacher, I get it every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Let me just be honest with you. If that's all of the Bible that you're getting, you're going to be malnourished. I'm getting ahead of myself with this text, but you're not going to grow like Jesus wants you to grow. It needs to, honestly, truly, the Bible needs to be a daily part of your life. You need to read it. You say, preacher, I read. How much should I read? Here, now, I'll be honest with you. There's some differences of opinion on this. Some say, well, you need to read 5 to 10 chapters a day. Great. If you can do that, great. But here's what I've learned in my life. Sometimes it's just a matter of reading a couple verses and just chewing on them all day. Just letting them really just meditate on them and chew on them. You know, get one verse, get one promise, and just hold on to it and believe it and trust the Lord. Now, what was the cause? What was the cause of their laziness, their spiritual laziness? Go back to chapter 2 for a minute. Just turn back a page or so. The cause is really one of the reasons they were dull of hearing. They were lazy hearers. Really, Hebrews 2 verses 1 through 4 kind of give us an indication. The writer says, he's given us a warning. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Literally, the word slip means, that phrase let them slip means drift away. Now he's talking, he goes on verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect? You know, there are some people that believe these verses of Scripture are teaching, you know, a person could lose their salvation, but that's not what the writer is teaching us here. He's not, and it's really not even a salvation passage. John 3:16, great salvation passage. This passage is really not a salvation passage. It's a service, David. It's a service passage. And look at the text here. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect, not reject, neglect, so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So the context of verse 1 and through 4, the writer is talking to these new believers. They had been saved for a little while, and he's warning them of the danger of neglecting the salvation that they have in Christ. They have it. They have salvation. They're born again. But they have let it, they're watching like a man standing on the riverbank. He's way up on the bank now. He's way up on the hill. The river has overflowed its banks with all the rain that has happened. And all of a sudden, he begins to watch as this river is flowing violently. It's going violently down in between the banks there. And he's seeing houses being carried away. He's seeing, you know, different barns and things being carried away with the rushing of the river. And he's just kind of setting back, just nonchalant, just standing back and just watching it drift by. That's the image that the writer of Hebrews wants us to get a hold of. The writer of Hebrews is saying, do not just stand by and let your salvation just kind of drift on down the river. Take some intentionality. Take some determination and some effort to press in and see what God has to say and God has to do in through your life. Drifting was causing it. Doubting was causing it in chapter 3, verse 7 through chapter 4, verse 13. The consequences of the dullness toward the Bible. There's consequences of it. Dullness toward the Bible. Sunday school lessons are dull. How do you know when you're dull? How do you know when you're a lazy hearer? Sunday school lessons are dull. Preaching is dull. Anything spiritual is dull. How do you know you're a lazy hearer? Again, when you get excited about everything except for the things of God. And I'm talking to believers, to a born-again, truly born-again believer. If you get excited about everything except for Jesus, the church, Bible, spiritual things, oh yeah, you're probably, I mean, you say you're saved, and I'm not saying you're not, but at best, you're just simply a lazy hearer. So don't be a lazy hearer. So he examines our hearing. He examines our hearing in the context of the Word of God. Laziness towards the Word of God leads to uselessness in the work of God. God wants to do amazing things through your life. Young people, my pastor used to tell us years ago, he said, you make yourself available to God and he will wear you out in his service. That's truth. That's absolutely true. You make yourself available to God and he will wear you out in his service. Right, Paul? He will wear you out in his service for his kingdom. He's a great God. He's a wonderful Savior. So he checks their hearing, but notice, second of all, he checks their growth and development. He's going to check their growth and their development. When our kids were babies and we started taking them to the doctors, they even did this recently. Leslie took the boys to get their physicals, and were getting ready to play sports, and they had a growth and development chart. Now, if you're under 3 years of age, they check your height or length, your weight, and they check the circumference of your head. I could go somewhere. I'm not going to do that. But they do all that, and then they look at it on a chart, and they want to see where you fall on the chart as opposed to other babies and children that are that age. Because they want to see if there's normal development, or they want to see if you're not progressing and you're not growing according to the normal kind of assessment. Now, in the context of this, the writer of Hebrews, he's basically going to do the same thing. He's going to check our growth and development. The recipients of this letter had been saved long enough to be able to share God's truths with others. Spiritual immaturity is not necessarily proportionate to the number of years one has been a Christian. Why? Here's what that means. I've met people that have been saved for decades, and they are still babes in Christ. I'll be honest, I don't understand that, but they're still babes in Christ. But I've met teenagers that know more about their Bible than some adults do. And that's another wonder about the Lord. What a wonderful thing we have in Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ will grow us and mature us in our faith if we're teachable. Boy, that's a sermon in itself, being teachable. You want to grow in your faith? Have a teachable spirit. People that have a know-it-all attitude, you'll never grow. You'll never grow. He checks their growth and development in two areas. He tells them there in verse 12, go back to Hebrews 5, excuse me. I'm going somewhere, and I hope you'll press in and just hear me tonight. Hear what the Word of God has to say. These believers who the writer of this passage is writing to, they had known the Lord long enough that they should have been sharing the Bible. They should have been sharing their faith and sharing the message of Christ and his death, his burial, his resurrection. However, they weren't doing that. They weren't growing like they should. The reason they weren't growing, as we said before, they were dull of hearing. They were lazy hearers. But notice what, as he continues in this verse 12, he says, For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles or sayings of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. These individuals, as far as the writers checking their spiritual growth, and the first thing he realizes, you know, they basically were still on letter A, they were on the basics of the Bible. That they were living off of the basic truths of the Bible. Remember what I said to you a moment ago? There's nothing wrong with being a baby. But there is something wrong if you stay a baby, right? There's something wrong if a person stays a baby. If they don't, matter of fact, and that does happen. I don't know what the disease is, but I remember seeing it was on Dateline or 2020 or something to that effect. They were talking about this young girl who as far as an age, I want to say in age, she was like a teenager. But in her development, she was like a two-year-old. And it was a sad story. Mentally she was, physically she was. She hadn't developed, and it was a sad thing. The writer in this portion of Scripture is giving another sad picture of a believer who is just living on the basics of the Bible. The simple truths of maybe they were just, oh, yeah, I know Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Yeah, but do you know anything about as far as the doctrine of maybe doctrines like eternal security? Could you give a defense for why you believe the eternal security of the believer? Can you give a defense of maybe justification, the doctrine of justification? Could you give a defense of the doctrine of sanctification? Now, contextually, the writer is going to go into the priesthood of Christ, so it's a deep, it's tremendous truths, and they should have learned it. They should have grown in their faith. So he assesses them, their growth and development. They were still in the basics of the Bible, but he wanted them to be He wanted them to be built up by the Bible. Look at the latter part of verse 12. He says, "For when the time ye, the beginning of verse 12, for the time ye ought to be teachers." Wow, think about that for a minute. He said, "Preacher, wait a minute." No, that's what the writer's saying. The writer, I started to say Paul. I don't know if Paul wrote it, but the writer's saying, you should be teaching the Bible. But you can't teach the Bible because you're lazy here. And because you're lazy here, you're just simply holding on to the basics of the Scripture. The basics of the Bible. There's nothing wrong with being a baby. But there is something wrong staying a baby. The building up of the Bible. You ought to be teachers. We cannot escape personal responsibility and accountability for truths we have. During the Old Testament times, the Jews were in the infancy stages of divine revelation. Here a little, there a little, Hebrews chapter 1 tells us. But with the coming of Christ, the nursery should have been left behind. But yet they weren't doing that. They were just simply holding on to these basic things. So number three, so he's checked their hearing. He's checked their growth and development. But now notice thirdly, he checks their nutritional intake. He's going to assess their diet, if you will. Look at the text. The last sentence really of verse 12 says, "And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong drink." You have need of milk and not of strong drink. "For everyone that useth milk," verse 12, "is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." There's nothing wrong with being a baby, but there is something wrong if you stay a baby. So the writer has assessed their diet. He's assessed their nutritional intake. And here's what he's determined. On the growth and development chart, they're lagging far behind. Cameron has always been 95 percentile when he was a little bitty thing. He's 6'12". I mean, you know, he always has been. And Toby, I don't know where he fell. He's on there somewhere. He's probably at least 50%. No. But as far as the growth and development, so he assesses her growth and development. He says, well, here's my assessment of it. You're a baby. Toby, I didn't call you a baby. I love you. He says, you're a baby. And the reason you're a baby is because you're drinking the milk of God's word. The milk of God's word was the basic fundamentals of the faith, the basic principles of the faith. Yeah, Christ died, was buried, and rose again. That's wonderful. When I got saved, all I knew was Jesus would, if Jesus saved me, he'd save anybody. But I'm grateful to God over the years. Thankfully, I hope to say that the Lord has kind of grown me a little bit. I have a lot of room for improvement. I'm not saying that I do not. But Paul, or this writer, he wants them to understand there's nothing wrong with being a baby, but there is something wrong being a baby if that's where you stand. Just turn a couple pages to the right. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1 through 3. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." The thing about being a baby, as far as the milk, as newborn babies here, it refers to the simpler truths of God's word. He then goes, if you just turn back for a minute now, back to our text, he talks about strong meat. Meat is, as he's indicating, as far as in the context, the meat would have been the doctrine of the priesthood of Christ. And now that Jesus Christ now is our great high priest. The writer wanted to give this meat to them, but they were not ready for it. Verse 13 says they're unskillful. Look at verse 13. "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful." It means they're inexperienced. They're unaccustomed to, if you will. They're unskillful in the word of righteousness. "For he is a babe." Again, there's nothing wrong with being a baby. But there is something wrong if you stay there. Many of you young people, if I were to look at the books, many of you young people have been saved for quite a while by your own testimony, by the testimony of your lips. You have made a profession of faith and you have nudged him, have him set up, Eric. Set up, bud. By your own lips, back here, guys. By your own lips, you have testified that you have been born again, and you have been, by your own testimony, you have been born again for years. Where are you at right now? Where are you at in your walk with Jesus? I said to you this morning that, to be honest with you, surely within the next 10 years, for some of you, 5 to 10 years for some of you, some of you could be married, some of you could be have babies on the way. And I meant what I said this morning. If there's ever a time you'll need to know how to get a hold of the Lord, it will be when you're a husband or a wife or a dad or a mom. But here's what you do, though. You don't wait till then to develop your spirituality. You don't wait till then to grow in Christ. You should desire to grow now. You should have a desire to say, you know what? Wait a minute. I don't want to be a baby. If I were to ask you to raise your hand, don't do this. If I were to ask you to raise your hand and say, if I were to ask this question, how many of you wish you were still a baby? I doubt anybody would raise your hand. Callie, I think you started to slip your hand up. I caught that. She did. Nobody would want to be. Because if you were a baby, I would have to do something like this. Goo, goo, ga, 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 ga. Right? You said, cameras like, Dad, please, for the love of the Lord, don't ever do that again on television, on the internet. No, we would have to talk to you like a baby. You'd spit up, you'd throw up, you'd do all kinds of stuff that babies do. It's disgusting. You'd get snot all over your face. It's nasty, disgusting. I could handle puke, but I couldn't handle boogers when our kids were babies, and I still can't handle them. Nothing wrong with being a baby. But there is. Joe, why are you laughing? Nothing wrong with being a baby, Joe. Where do you fall on, Joe, where do you fall on the growth and development chart, buddy? I'm sorry, Joe, you giggled and you got me sidetracked. I had left you alone for a long time, Joe. But Jen was pointing when I looked over there. He checks their nutritional intake. But last of all, this is awesome. I love this. I love this last point, and I really couldn't wait to get to it. The last thing he does, young people, is he checks their spiritual strength. When I've had physicals over the years, it was not uncommon for the doctor or the PA or whoever's doing the physical. They would check strength. They would say, okay, hold your hands out, and they'd put their hands under mine, and you know, or vice versa, and they would basically say, you know, don't let me push your hands down. And they would have to bring in 5 doctors to just barely push my hands down. So much strength in this body. I'm silly. Or then they'd say, okay, stand on 1 foot, and I would do that, but I'd be kind of wobbly. And what they were doing, they were checking to see the strength of the muscles in your hip and to see your balance. So they check your strength, and because really it says a lot about as far as how you are, as far as how strong you are. So the writer now is going to dig in, and this is tremendous, tremendous wording here in verse 14. He says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Full age means maturity. He's going to see, so a couple thoughts under this. So he's going to check their spiritual strength, and he's going to see, first of all, how mature they are. And the second thing, he's going to check their sensitivity to God's Spirit. This is good. Young people, this is going to be a good word to you. It's going to help you. So he's going to check how spiritually mature they are, but he's also going to check their strength by seeing how sensitive they are to the Holy Spirit of God. This is awesome. I'm going to tell you it's awesome because look at the text. This is great. Strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. Now, for some that are sitting here tonight or watching the internet, you may think to yourself, well, preach, I'll just be honest. I don't really care about the deep things of God. I don't care about my growth in Christ. Let me just say something to you. Yes, you do. Or let me say it like this. You should care. You should care about it. You should care about your growth in Christ. Because it's God's will for you to grow. It's not, there's nothing wrong with being a baby. We thank God for babies. We love babies here at Emmanuel Baptist. We thank God for babies. But there is something wrong if you stay a baby. Same way in a Christian life. There's nothing wrong with being a baby. But if you've been saved for any length of time, and some of you teenagers, by testimony, have made statement that you've been saved for years, where are you at tonight? And to be honest, the reason we sometimes have so much problem with some of our behaviors, and by behavior, I don't mean bad attitudes. Sometimes that's true, yes. By behaviors, I'm talking about, you know, our Facebook feeds being bad, our Instagrams or whatever it is, and all this kind of stuff. The reason we sometimes struggle with being godly in our lifestyle and our behavior is because we've really never grown in Christ. And that the reason we haven't grown in Christ, I say to the adults as well, maybe because we're dull of hearing, maybe because we're drifting away, maybe because we just haven't really pressed in. So he checks their strength because he wants to see how mature they are. But now he's going to tell us how they got strong. Right in the context of these verses, the sensitivity of God's Spirit. This is good. This is great. Young people, look at the Bible. Strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, mature. Even those, he's going to tell you how now they got strong. He's going to tell us how. Well, how do you get strong, preacher? How do you get spiritually strong? Look at it. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So let's break down these words. In verse 14, the beginning, he talks about strong meat. Strong meat just simply means solid food. Think about a baby. A baby will eat anything you put in its mouth, just about. I forget, was it Ashley or Cameron? Crawling one day. And we looked at them. We honestly thought they had a little chili bean in their mouth. Was that Ashley? It was Ashley. We thought she had a little chili bean. Well, it was a little brown chili beans in her mouth. And we're like, oh, honey, where'd you get that chili bean? We reached in. It was one of those big brown bugs is what it was. She's just going to town on that sucker, man, just chewing, chewing, chewing. She still eats bugs. Pray for her. But my point is, a baby will eat just about anything you put in their mouth. I love to watch the videos of little babies that they give them a lemon for the first time. You ever see videos like that? You know? Why? Because it's the natural inclination of a baby to take in and bite down on whatever you put in its mouth. And So, but the writer tells us in this aspect, he said this strong meat, this solid food, he said, belongeth to them that are mature. It's God's will for you to be a mature Christian. It's God's will for you to grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's God's will for you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to 2 Peter. Peter's writings there. Look what else he says. Who by reason of use... The word use means practice. Practice, right? Allen Iverson. It's just practice. Well, in the context of Scripture, it takes practice. If you're gonna mature in your walk with Jesus, you're gonna have to practice at it. It's not gonna happen by accident, young people. It's not gonna happen by accident. You say, Pastor, I wish I had more victory over this area of my life. You're going to have to practice. You're going to have to surrender your will, to surrender your mind and your heart to the Lord Jesus. So look what else he says. Who by reason of practice, have their senses exercised. The word exercise is the word trained. So in order for you to grow in your relationship with Jesus, and perhaps, in order for you to change some of the behaviors, the negative behaviors that are going on right now in your life, In order for that to change, you got to practice. You got to surrender your will. You got to get rid of the dull of hearing in this aspect of your life and say, wait a minute, I'm not going to be a lazy here. So going forward, preacher, going forward, and I'm a big advocate of this, and I was a teenager that I used to take notes. Jeff Fain taught me that. I would take notes. You know what a good thing about taking notes? If it's a great sermon, taking notes will help you to remember it. If it's a boring sermon, taking notes will make the time fly by faster. I'm telling you, it will. So he says, to be a mature Christian, even those who by reason of use, practice, have their senses exercised, trained, and here's what happens. I told you I was getting somewhere. Look at the last sentence. You looking, young people? Looking at your Bible? If you don't have a Bible, look on your friends. Remember we said earlier, the world focuses so much on behavioral modification, wanting to get somebody to stop this behavior. If we can just get them to stop this behavior. The only problem is, sin isn't content with just stopping this behavior. It'll move to this behavior, and it'll move to this behavior, and then it'll become that behavior. That's what happens. But look at the writer says, though. To have their senses exercised, trained to discern. The word discern means judgment. It's God's will, young people, that you guys have good judgment. You said, preacher, they're teenagers. You're right, they're teenagers. But that, as a believer in Jesus, here's what's great about being a believer in Jesus. You can be a teenager if you surrendered your will to Christ and you surrendered your mind to Christ and your heart to Christ and saying, you know what? By God's grace, I don't want to be a lazy hearer when it comes to the Bible. So, Lord Jesus, when your word is preached, I pray, God, that you'll use it to speak to me so that then I won't be dull of hearing, I won't be lazy, but, God, I'll welcome it. And when I welcome it, if you speak into my life, if you take the Holy Spirit, if you put your finger on an area of my life where I need to get help in, God, I'm going to surrender that to you. I want to grow. I want to mature in my faith, and I want to exercise. I want to practice. I want to train myself. And here's what I want to train myself. By doing so, it will allow me, verse 14, to discern both good and evil. That's good, man. That's a good word. You know, sometimes teenagers get a bad rap. Sometimes they deserve it. But sometimes, you know, teenagers say something like this: well, what is wrong with such and such? What is wrong with this, this, and this? So here's my thought. If you surrender your life to Christ, and many of you, like I said, have made profession of faith, and you have your name on a card, and I pray that you're truly born again. But if you truly are born again, and it's been years since you have said you've been saved, are you a baby still? Are you a baby still? Or are you growing in your faith? Have you trained yourself? Have you, as we're leaving the doctor's office now to go to invitation, as we're leaving the great physician's office, have you disciplined yourself? And I ask yourself, I'll end with asking you this question. You'll know if you're a mature believer when you're able to truly understand what is good and evil. What's wrong with pornography? I've had teenagers ask me that. What's wrong with pornography? Well, if you grow in your walk with God, God's word will tell you what's wrong with it. There's something bad wrong with it. What's wrong with sex out of marriage? Outside the confines of marriage. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with missing church? What's wrong with being disobedient to our parents? What's wrong with, and you fill in the blank. Yes, as parents, we could stand over their shoulders and harp and tell them, and as leaders, we could stand over them and harp and harp and harp and harp. We don't want to do that because that's not going to change them. But what will change them is when you surrender your will and your heart and your mind. Gage, Callie, when you surrender your heart and your mind and your will and your ambitions and your desires to God's will for your life. God wants to mature you. He wants to grow you. Next Sunday night, we'll look at illustrations on how to grow. We've kind of set the stage up, if you will, to kind of unfold some things, kind of point out some things. But next week, we're going to dig more deeper. We're going to dig deeper and see what God has to say. Let's stand, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Stephen's going to come and lead us in a verse, but maybe the Lord's touched your heart. You say, "Preach, I'll be honest, I never really considered it much. To be honest, I never really thought much about being a teenager and how God wants to grow me. God wants to mature me. He wants me to be a mature Christian. Even as a teenager, God desires for that." Well, that's what God wants. God wants us to not be dull of hearing. We're dull of hearing when we hear the word preached and we think, "I'm not going to do that. I don't care what the preacher says. I'm not going to do that. Nobody's going to tell me what to do." Well, the problem is, if you truly identify with Christ, if you truly identify with Christ, listen, you surrendered your right to your own life. Really? Yeah. You surrendered your right to yourself. You surrendered your right of ownership if you give your life to Jesus. That's why Paul says you're not your own anymore. Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's, he says. You're not your own. But you're a baby if you're dull to the word of God. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Your life's going to be miserable. I'll just be honest. Your life is going to be miserable if you don't surrender your will to Christ. Because God will let, Charles Spurgeon, God will not let his children sin successfully. He's not going to do it. He will not let his children sin successfully. Maybe tonight you'd just like to come to the altar to pray. Maybe some of you teenagers would like to come to the altar and pray. You say, "Preach, I'll be honest. That's a lot, man. There's some heavy words tonight. I'm just going to need God's help." Well, he'll help you. Come to the altar and just pray and kneel before the Lord and just talk to him like I'm talking to you. Some of you teenage boys, you know what? Some of you teenage boys, you should be praying out loud in church. Some of you do. Some of you should be. Some of you should be doing other things and serving and things of that nature. If God's touched your heart, you come. If the Lord's spoken to you about being saved, just because your name's on a church card doesn't mean you're saved. You have to know for certain that you've been born again, and you do if you've repented and trusted in Christ to save you, he'll save you. If God's leading you to do something else, whatever you need to do, if the Holy Spirit of God's touched you, you come as we sing. What's your number, Lucy?
Number 454.
454, you come as we sing.